Today we are very honored to be recognizing, celebrating, whatever the right word is, Gideon Sunday. And so Brother Bill has been a Gideon for many years. I'm sure he's going to talk about that. And he's going to come and he's going to actually do our presentation today. And I want to make sure that you hear me say before he ever says a word, I'm excited to give money to support to Gideon. So I want you to know that. And so it's one of the things that I count as a tremendous blessing is for us to have the Gideons here today, and especially when it's Brother Bill. So Brother Bill, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, well, come on then, brother.
All right, it should be one button right on the top.
How about that?
There you go.
I'm off to a good start. I got the right button. Thank you, Frank. This good-looking guy to my right here is a fellow Gideon. He goes to a little church down the street here. It's called Pine Lake. And when we go out as Gideons to do presentations, we go in twos. And Jesus taught us that. He sent his disciples out in twos. So we follow that tradition. They've always told me if you're going to get up in front of somebody, make a dramatic entrance. I didn't want it to be a dramatic entrance as this one was today, but anyway. When I was preparing to do this presentation, which we're so honored to have a pastor that loves the Gideons. This man doesn't just do it with words, he loves the Gideons. And I'll never forget that he showed us on a slide or on the PowerPoint up here one time where he made his first trip up into the mountains in Haiti. And here was a little girl holding a Gideon Testament up in the mountains. I don't know how it got there, but it doesn't matter how it did. It got there. And it's inspired Brother Jeff and a lot of us. As I was preparing to do this today, I've done a few presentations and getting my notes together and things, as everybody does and when they're getting ready to do something. And I got a sort of a revelation. And at my age, you don't get many revelations, so when you get one, you better listen. So the Lord spoke to me and said, Bill, don't just talk about the Gideon ministry, but make it an inspiration to everybody in this congregation that has a ministry that can grow and do the things. I'm going to show you how the Gideon started out with two men, and it's grown to where it is today. So if any of you, the Lord's put it on my heart to challenge you, if you have an idea, you have a dream, you have something that you feel God is just making you want to do, get started, and he'll take care of the rest of it. So, what are Gideons? For those of you that don't know, Gideons are a group of professional men, that businessmen, that are gathered together for one purpose only, and that is to present Bibles to create the through with the Lord's help, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to men and women, boys and girls, not just in our hometown, but all over the world. So we place Bibles. Everybody says, you're the motel guys, aren't you? You're the motel guys. Why? Yeah, we're the motel guys. But we're also in hospitals, doctor's offices, dentist's offices, jails, prisons. And we made a breakthrough. One of our Gideons ran into a captain that has one of those boats on the riverboat cruises you've seen advertised. He gave this captain a Gideon Bible. And now we're on all the riverboat cruises. Every cabin's got a Bible in it. So that's our latest breakthrough. But what I want to urge you to tell you, and Brother Jeff has told me, and I've seen it so many times in love offerings, This is a giving church. And I would want to tell you that our purpose is not to be anything but an extension of this church. We're not here to rob the church of its financial things. We are here to be a partner with you, as we are with churches all over the world. By partner, I mean that we are your evangelists. When my sister Jordan asks her, are you the only missionary in your church? I'm sure she'll mention all those other people that go to Haiti with her. But I also want her to know that she can proudly look at them and say, yes, I am, but I've got 200,000 men and another 100,000 women called Gideons that are missionaries too. We are an arm of this church, and that's the way we want to be thought of. Our job description is very simple. The Word of God says in Isaiah 55:11, a verse that I consider our job description. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, shall not return to me void, but will accomplish my purpose and prosper in that I sent it. So what does it mean, void? It's not going to come back empty. It's going to accomplish. That is, it's going to get something done. And it's going to get done what he wants done in the manner that he wants it done. And it's going to prosper. It's going to grow and grow and grow. So really, we can't take much credit, Frank and I, for being Gideons. We're really just guys that carry these things around. We plant the seed and the Holy Spirit takes off. The Holy Spirit doesn't really care whether these are placed or the Bibles are placed, like this one, whether it's in a motel room, whether it's in a hotel room, whether it's a prison, a jail, he doesn't care. Because the Holy Spirit does all the work. We don't do it. We just make it available. In John 16:8-9, it gives a good description of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit's ministry is to convict men of sin, of their sin in the world, and sin in their hearts, but also to convict them that there's an answer to that sin. There's a thing called righteousness that they can have. And then also, it's kind of sinister, but the Holy Spirit convicts men that there is going to be a judgment someday. So I always, when I go to these presentations in churches, two things I can depend on. One person will stand up and say, or tell me after the service, hey, my grandpa or my brother or somebody has been a Gideon for so many years, and they're proud to tell me all about it. And the other one is, I've been going to church for years hearing testimonies from Gideons. I just love to hear the testimonies. Well, we do too, because that's our success stories, God's success stories. I'll start out with one that you may find interesting. This guy's name was Yusuf, if I can get the name, Nasiri. He was from Java, Indonesia. This man was 17 years old. He was a devout Muslim. And he was given by a Gideon, of all things, in a thing called a blitz, when a bunch of men came to his country and passing out Bibles, they gave him a Bible. A New Testament, actually, is the one he got. And he was infuriated to get it, being a Muslim, but he read it from cover to cover, only to find out how it compared with his religion. So later, when he found out in his village that They were going to build a church there, a Christian church. He was infuriated. And he got his buddies together, and they decided they were going to burn the church down. They were just getting it together, getting it started. And they were going to go in there in this new building and tear it down and burn it. But he went over there to talk to these people just to know how to get in and out of the church. And they got him busy, started to help him decorate the church. And he decorated until he got exhausted that day. And he just laid down in the church and went to sleep that night. But he woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning because he could hear his buddies. They were there to burn the church down. And for whatever reason, he was just caught up in his spirit to stop them. He went out and tried to stop. He woke up all the Christians who had been working there too, and they went out. They saved the church from being burned completely down. And afterwards, Yusuf just really felt bad about things. He couldn't get any spirit in his heart. He went and talked to a lady named Martha in the Christian church. And he was amazed because she wasn't angry with him. She forgave him. These Christians bound around him and said they understood that he was just a wayward young man, and they loved him still. Well, it broke his heart. He didn't know how to handle that. So he got a verse in this little testament they gave him. The verse is from John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It transformed him. I'll flash forward now to get the rest of the story. Yusuf accepted Christ. That Martha he had talked to in the church became his wife. And today, Yusuf is a pastor in the church that he was going to burn down. That's God at work. There's another one, testimony that this one breaks my heart, but it's a good story the way it ends. The earliest Joyce Oglesby, you may have seen her on TV. As a little girl, her first memory was being in a doctor's office, and the doctor looked at her mother and said, "Hey, I want to tell you, somebody's doing something very bad to your little girl. I think that it looks evidence that she'd been molested." She didn't know what that meant. She went home. She was one of six kids. Her daddy was a tobacco farmer, sharecropper. And shortly after this experience, she had this horrible thing start happening to her. She started wetting the bed. When she did that, her mother was so infuriated with her, she took her face and rubbed it on the soiled sheet, whipped her with a curtain rod, and told her she had to go off to school without bathing. Well, they were in South Georgia, and it didn't take long in that classroom for this child with soiled clothes to start having an odor. The teacher became so infuriated with her, she said, "I want you to go home and get a bath." She knew that her mother wouldn't let her bathe. That was one of her punishments. So the teacher for the rest of the year made her stand in the corner. And then one day a guy named Gideon came to their church, their school, and he passed out these. She saw them on the table. All the kids were lined up to get one. And she says, "No, I want the big book." So he gave her a copy of the Bible. And the child went home that night. And under the covers, she took her flashlight and started reading it. And she knew that she kept seeing these words, love, 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 all through this precious book. But she didn't know how to. Everybody was supposed to love her, didn't love her. So she didn't know how to react to that. And she prayed for 7 years that God would send somebody into her life to show her how to love. Well, 7 years later, the pastor of the little church that she had been going to changed. They got a new pastor to come in. And about a year and a half, 2 years later, that young pastor that came in came in front of Joyce and said, this ring, I wanted you to accept it. I want you to marry me. And she married this young pastor. And God had given her, it took 7 years, but God had given her somebody that showed her how to love, the physical person. She knew the spiritual love that God gave, but she got the physical love that another person could give her for the first time in her life. Her husband got transferred to a little church in Corydon, Indiana. She followed him. She became an advocate for children that are abused. She's on TV now. She goes and gives conferences and things. God is using this little girl today that grew up to be an evangelist for him. So I spoke earlier about anyone in here that might have a ministry, even a matter small, an idea for starting something. You can't start anything smaller than the Gideon's ministry was started. It's a simple story. It was up in Wisconsin. The year was 1898. I was just a child then. 121 years ago, this man was in a motel, a hotel room. There wasn't motels in those days. He was in this hotel room, and there's a knock on the door, and the clerk said, "Do you mind? There's another gentleman here that needs a room. We don't have any rooms. It's cold outside. And would you mind sharing your room? It's a double room. Do you mind sharing it with him?" The man that had the room was named John Nicholson, and the man needing the room was Sam Hill. And as the evening grew on, we got near bedtime. John looked at Sam and said, "Hey, it's my habit every night before I go to bed to read my Bible and do my devotional. Do you mind?" And Sam jumped up and said, "No, I do the same thing." These two men got on their knees and prayed that night. And the Holy Spirit anointed them. And before they left each other, they came up with an idea. Wouldn't it be great if we had some way to put the Word of God in all the rooms just like this one? Well, that was a long time ago. They had to go through organization. They had to get people to join them. They had other people that bought into their idea. They did a lot of praying. Ten years later, it took to get the thing organized and put the first Bible in the first hotel in Wisconsin. Back then, Bibles were a lot more expensive than they are now. We Gideons have 8 printing presses all over the world that print Bibles for us, so we could keep the expense down of shipping them. But back in those days, Testaments and Bibles were very expensive. And these few people that were Gideons, or they weren't even called Gideons then, they just a group of men that loved the Lord and wanted to get them out, said, "Hey, we'll pay for them ourselves." So they did, and I won't go through all the mechanics of it, but they finally got a little organization together, and the three men, the president, the vice president, and a secretary, got on their knees because they came up, "What will we do for a name?" They called, they prayed and prayed, and finally Mr. Knights, who was the vice president, got up and said, "We shall call ourselves Gideons." If you read Judges 6, 7, and 8, you'll read about Gideon. God used a small number of people to accomplish a great amount of good. So Gideon was our name. We had a name then. I'll flash forward. It was 1954 before we had 18 countries to support. We started out with just 5 international countries besides what we were doing in the United States. By 1966, there were 78 countries to support. Today, I'm happy to tell you the Gideons have camps in 207 countries all over the world. God is good. and God gets all the credit for doing it. We're just guys that pass out these things. So along the line, a pastor, Brother Jeff, was the one that suggested that churches all over the country would join in with the Gideons and let us have services like this. The idea came from a pastor, and they embraced it ever since. And that's one of the ways that we have money through the support of the churches to get these Bibles. We're in 207 countries, but I would have to tell you that a great number of these countries in many areas don't have the money to even supply Bibles for themselves. So we put Bibles in there. So last year, flashing forward some more. Well, let me stop for just a minute. During 1941 to 1949, you know, that was the year the war was on, World War II. Gideon's passed out 10 million testaments like this to servicemen. They were in the colors of the particular arm of the service the person belonged to. I didn't get mine in 1949. I got mine in 1950. I got to do Korea. That was my war. So I was in 1950, and I got one of these that was in blue. And I would tell you with a sad heart that all the moves that I've made in subsequent years, this, my little blue testament's gotten away from me, but I hope it's in the hands of somebody that will use it. So last year, thanks to people like yourselves helping, the Gideons doing what they can do, and the Lord blessing it, we passed out 184 million copies of the Lord's Word in 207 countries. So God has a plan for us. In the year 2000, to give you some proportion of this, it took 26 years to pass out the first 1 million Bibles. Last year, in 2000, the year 2000, we passed out our 1 billionth Testament Bibles around the world. That's a lot of Bibles. I'm not a mathematician, but they'd fill up a great part of this sanctuary if they were all in a box. So we were happy to do that. In fact, we gave the Queen of England a Community Bible, the 1 billionth Bible, and gave our president one. And the Queen of England testified to people there that during World War II, when things were so bad, where they were being bombed and they were spending great amount of time in bomb shelters, it was the Bibles that got them through the idea that they could still hang on to the Word of God and see hope. Well, we got 1 billion in 2000, but I'm proud to tell you, in the year, 16 years later, in 2016, we reached our 2 billionth Bible. So what we want to do now is get our 3 billionth Bible passed out. And our goal, short-term goal, is to pass out not 84 million scriptures in 1 year, but 120 million in 1 year. So we're a disciplined ministry. We've got rules and regulations. We don't just do things. These men had good ideas. They set out a rule book, and we do what it tells us. Number one, we got to be saved. We can't get up and talk about Gideons unless we're saved. We belong to a church. In fact, every Gideon is recommended by a pastor. I was recommended by a pastor from another church. They dictate everything about just the way we go about doing things, which kind of makes us kind of itchy sometimes because we like to break out of it. But they even dictate our dress, how we're supposed to dress when we get up and address a congregation. We have to be men that pray. We have to be men that read the Bible. And we must be of high moral character. People that run into our rules and regulations times don't understand us. They don't know why. Sometimes we don't know why. We just know that the Lord blesses it and we'll do what we're told. But one of the things that we have trouble with is people say, Well, I haven't got time to let you have a church service, but just stack a bunch of them, these testaments back here on the back table, and people can get them as they get out. We can't do it. It's absolutely against the rules of our organization as Gideons to just give these out on a table somewhere. That sounds pretty cold. If somebody wants a Bible, why not just leave it back there for them? It's for a reason. The reason being is when we give one of these, we ask the people the condition of their soul. Our purpose is to bring men and women, boys and girls, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as we're handing these out to in universities, police stations, army camps, whatever, we have a thumb back here like this. Why? Because right there it tells the Roman road, the plan of salvation. And it's amazing how many people have not even understood how to be saved, let alone why they need to be saved. And then here in the back of it's a signature and a place for a date when they accepted Jesus Christ. So we have motels. One of the reasons we're in motels, there's over 5 million of them in the United States, and we find out that a lot of people have them. And some of our greatest victories, or God's greatest victories, have been out of motels. Tom Moore was a Marine. He was in Vietnam. He came home to Camp Lejeune. He had 3 other buddies, and they had planned. They'd been out for a long time, and they were going to go out that night and paint the town red. They were going to show the city how Marines celebrated. So they got in their civilian clothes. They each had a separate room. Tom went in his room, and he looked in the drawer there, and he found his Bible was in there. Looked just probably just like this. And he had time to spare. His buddies hadn't knocked on the door yet, so he started reading it. He kept reading. The more he read, the more he wanted to read. He couldn't put it down. Well, finally, his buddy said, "We're leaving." He said, I'm not going to go tonight. I'm going to stay and read my Bible. I can't stop." He said, "I just want to read. I want to know more of what's in here." Well, he read till he got sleepy and dropped off to sleep. And about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, there's a knock on the door. He opened the door, and here was a state policeman standing there. He said, "Aren't you the young man that was with these other Marines here?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I was." He said, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you that all 3 of those were killed in an automobile accident. They won't be coming home." Tom Moore accepted Christ that night, and the rest of the story is he spent 20 years as a pastor before he retired. We have conventions, we have all kinds of things that happen. Last year we have international conventions where people from all over the world that are Gideons come to one place. This year it's going to be in Atlanta. Last year it was in New Orleans. And these people come from various parts of the world, and they come in their native dress. And it's a very interesting thing. It's a very structured convention. They have meetings, but they also go out on the street. First thing we do, Brother Jeff, internationally as well as locally, our conventions, we honor the pastors on our first night. It's Pastor Appreciation Night. And so every man, the one thing about Gideon's that I want you to know, everything we do, we pay for ourselves. We do not take money away from Bibles to do something for us. These people that come from all over the world pay their own way. They pay for their motel. They pay for their food. And really, they may not be but one person come, and maybe all the camps in that country or support to support one man that gets to go, or one woman, and a husband and man, wife. I don't know about you, but I can't but shake my head when I see these people come all from all over the world getting their view of the United States and go to New Orleans. I think that their view of New Orleans must of the United States through New Orleans must be interesting. Go home and tell people, those people are very crawdads. What are you talking about? They got this people in America eat strange things. Some of them from Africa may say, go back and say, look, Martha, it's just like it is here. They do voodoo there, you know. So New Orleans can be an interesting place if you don't know the history of it. So we go out and witness when we go to these places too, on the street. No difference there. These people passed out 148,000 Bibles from the International Convention. Was in New Orleans last year. I don't know what we'll do in Atlanta. They witnessed to people. Yolanda was a little bus driver. These people from New York City were there, and they talked to her. And they asked her, do you know Jesus? Do you know really? She immediately reached in her pocket and pulled out her testament. She says, yes, I've got this testament. Some other one Gideon gave me. And I've led my boyfriend to Christ too. So another one was Katrina. This girl's name was Helen. These Gideons asked her, said, hey, what happened to you when that hurricane Katrina came? She says, well, we had to move. We had to leave. We didn't know where we were going to go. And Gideon, that was much smarter than I would have been, said, let me ask you something. When you die, do you know where you're going to go then? So this person didn't, and they led Helen to Christ. So we're in all kinds of things. We do blitzes. Blitzes are when we have a group of men from various countries pay their own way and go into a country. It's not unusual to go into a country like Venezuela and, well, all over the world. We've been into Hungary, a lot of those different countries over there. And we plant Bibles and plant the Word of God. One of the witnesses' statements I like to bring to your attention is one that was in the Philippines. This Gideon was one of a group of men that made their way from several different countries, Australia, Germany, in England. And he had passed out a testament to this young lady, and she said, would you do me a favor? She said, would you give one of these to my mama? I want you to give her one of these testaments. So he did. He drove. She got instructions. He drove 20. This is in the Philippines where the roads are not too good. He drove 24 miles to take a little testament to this mother. He walked for 2 miles through rice paddies to get to her house. When he was there, this mother just embraced him, brought the whole family in, and he talked about the Word of God and how Jesus loved them. Before he left that hut in the Philippines, all 10 members of that family accepted Christ and they were saved. These are the kind of things. We have some things happen too that just blow us away. We don't understand exactly how we could be so blessed to have them happen. But this soldier was an example of a soldier that was in Liberia. He was a Liberian soldier. He had been through a war. He'd killed babies, adults, in one of those slaughters that went on over there. But a Gideon stopped him one day in the camp and said he'd like to give him his testament. And he put it in his pocket right here. And as he was going home that night, there was a big family dispute going on. A man and woman were having a struggle, and he tried to break it up. As my brother Eddie back there, it's a retired policeman, will tell you, I guess one of the most dangerous things to happen to policemen is when they try to get involved in a domestic struggle. But anyway, this woman, he didn't know this woman had a knife in her hand, and she took the knife and stabbed him. Where she stabbed him was exactly where that testament was. The knife stuck in the testament, and he used that testament as a testimony that he accepted Christ. Not only was his life saved, but his soul was saved. You can't see it but from back there, I know, but this is another example of how God does mysterious and wonderful things with testaments. This was a Mississippian in the war, World War II, from Picayune. He had this testament that was given to him in his pocket. You can't see it in the picture there, but there's a bullet still lodged in it. He was shot in battle, and the bullet landed right in the middle of his testament. And it's still there. I know you can't see it. I don't have a picture of it. I have seen the man that happened to. So, I would like to just say that one of the things that we are in is prisons. I'm going to tell you some shocking things, maybe, I hope you don't know, because not many people want to know these things. In the 1980s, our country got into a campaign called Be Tough on Crime. They got tough on crime, and today there are 2.2 million men in state and federal prisons, and another 800,000 in jails. What gives you some proportion of this? This is more than all the jails in the rest of the world and prisons put together. In other words, we got more people locked up in the United States than there are locked up in the rest of the world. When we think of prisoners, we always think of male inmates, don't we? They're the ones that seem to get all the attention on the TV. But here's what really got my heart and worried me. The number of women incarcerated has increased by 700% in the recent years. There were 26,378 in 1980, and there were, unfortunately, 215,332 today. Matthew 28:19 says, and Brother Jeff's preached this many times, go ye therefore, we call it the golden rule, in all the world, baptizing, making disciples. I can't go all over the world. And I'll wrap this up by just telling you there's a lot more testimonies that I'd love to tell you about, but time is of the essence, and I know you're tired of listening to me. But folks, I can't go to Malaysia, I can't go to strange countries, but maybe a testament that I donate or hand out to somebody will get over there. So, this is our missionary. But God, I could give you testimonies of how miraculous things have happened, these testimonies. I don't understand it, but God does. I'd like to be in heaven and meet that person that gave out the 2 billionth testament, or the 1 billionth, someday. So we have a big challenge, guys. I would tell you, and I'll stop with this. We passed out 84 million scriptures last year, but it's a drop in the bucket. I have to share with you, South America is exploding. Revivals are going on there. Malaysia, Thailand, Tanzania, all these countries that we don't even think of are on fire for the Lord. South Korea has got a tremendous revival going on and has been for years. So how do we get these revivals started? People told us we'd never get into Japan at one time. Japan went wild, and also other countries have taken off. South Korea's, believe it or not, it's got congregations and churches that are 300,000. Over there, they've had experiences where they have 100,000 people in the service with another 100,000 people standing outside wanting to get in for the next service. So it's happening all over the world. And so I'll make one last statistic, and I'm going to put a little bit of conviction on your head with it. Southern Baptists are the largest evangelistic denomination in the world, by far. There's more of us than there are a whole bunch. And if you take the other Baptist associations, I'm talking about the General Baptist, the American Association of Baptists, on and on. A lot of people that Baptists, but they don't exactly believe exactly the way we do. Put them all together, and we Baptists represent over half of the evangelistic churches in America. Why do I say that? I say we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to get out and do the job. God didn't let us grow to be as big as we are because we're just pretty, we're nice guys, got great preachers even though we have them. That isn't what it did. It's because we're doing things that God blessed us to do. So I would ask you, I'll challenge you, please. Again, we're not here, Frank and I. We're not here to take away from these campaign funds and all these different things that we raise money for in the church. I belong here, and I'm sure going to pay my tithes and do my offerings. But I'll also do Gideon work. It's sacrificial. So if there's anything that you can give today, sacrificially, over and above your responsibilities, I make you two promises. One, the money will go to Bibles. Okay? And two, they'll be distributed to somebody somewhere in the world. I always marveled over one thing. In closing, I'll say that when Jesus was asked, when will the end be? In other words, the rapture. Jesus says, I don't know. He says, only my Father knows. Well, that troubled me, Ryan, for a long time, because I always knew that Jesus was omniscient. He knew everything. How come he didn't know that? And I puzzled over that scripture for a long time. Finally, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, revealed to me the reasons Jesus didn't know is the Father hadn't decided yet. And it could be very well be that the one testament that you buy or donate to, or these cost $1.40. A case of them costs $140. We buy them with a case. It might be the very one that you donate will be the one that Jesus or God is waiting on to save the world, and it will be the one that creates the rapture where we'll all go home. I thank you for your time. I thank you for my pastor that's passionate for the Gideons. I thank you for listening. And above all, I thank you for what you do in this church and for the Gideons, the betterment, the kingdom of God. Thank you.